Today is Earth Day, and some of you may like to celebrate Earth Day. I know in our schools we do. We try to teach all of our children the importance of taking care of this planet that we live upon. Some people probably do not emphasize it very much, and I've heard some people think, well, it's a kind of a liberal left-wing communist plot or something. Well, I guess it could be, but it's not. It is not. If we're celebrating the fact that we're living on the planet Earth and that we're all to take care of it, that's as biblical as you can get. That's right out of the Word of God. And I see no reason to think that it's not important. There was an older lady. She was about 5'2" and white-headed, white-haired. She was in shopping at the shopping market, and she came out on the parking lot. And she went to get in her car, and she got to the car, and there were four men sitting in her car. It so upset her, she reached in her purse and got her pistol out and pointed at the men and said, "You all get out of my car." And of course she meant business, and they all got out and left. She got in the car, tried to put her key in the ignition, and she couldn't get it in the ignition. She suddenly realized it was not her car. So she went and looked out about two lanes over, and there was her car. She got in it and drove to the police station. She got in the police station, and when she did, she told the officer in charge what had happened. He started laughing, almost choked up, laughing so hard. He said, "Lady, down the counter there are four men who are making a report about a little white-haired lady who drew a gun on them and forced them out of their car." Well, they all got a big laugh out of it, and they didn't file any charges, they said, because it was an honest mistake. Now, the reason I told that joke, it is a funny joke, isn't it? It sure is. But that woman thought that that car belonged to her, but it didn't. And there are many of us, human beings on this planet Earth, who imagine that this world belongs to us, when actually it belongs to God. And we get in trouble when we do not understand that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I want us to go back, first of all, to the book of Genesis to look at the first couple of verses that will help us understand, and I hope the children, the young people, all of us will see the wisdom of this. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, we read this. I believe the scripture is on our screen up here. "And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." So in this passage, the Word of God says that God created the world, he created the earth, the heavens, and then he created mankind, he created us. And he said that we were to have dominion over the fish, over the fowl, over everything, all the living things on the planet Earth. Then in chapter 2 of Genesis, chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, lest you surely die." And then the next verse says that he created Eve. He formed her out of the rib of Adam, and he created man and woman. Now, the whole point of bringing up these two verses is to show us that in God's revelation, in his word, this planet was created by God. All of it was created by God. And we were created by God. And he has placed us here to take care of the planet. That's what it says. He placed Adam and Eve in the garden to till it and to take care of it. And that's the way it was since creation. It's very important that we understand the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8, the prophet says, "All the silver and all the gold belong to me, thus saith the Lord." So if I have some silver and I have some gold and I say it's mine, then I'm not telling the truth. It belongs to the Lord. It says there, all the silver, all the gold belongs to God. As a matter of fact, in that song we sang a while ago, even we belong entirely to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, Paul tells us that we are bought with a price. I cannot even say that I belong to myself. I belong to God. And if you're a believer in Christ, you must testify of the same thing. Sometimes we like to say that our children belong to us. Well, in a sense they do, but in a deeper sense they do not. Even our children belong to God. And once we understand that, then whatever takes place in the life of our children, we understand they belong to God, they are God's, they do not belong to us. We take care of them for a while, and then they are gone. Very important to understand. In our study of the Bible and in our teaching, we call this a stewardship. We are stewards over the world. So the first important point is this, if you're taking notes. God is the owner of everything. I am the manager. God is the owner. I am the manager. In Psalm 89 and verse 11, it says, "The earth is thine." It belongs to God. And that's why it's important for us to take care of the world. We ought not to abuse it. We ought not to pollute it. We ought not to show such disregard for it, because it belongs to God. But some of us treat the world about like we treat our own bodies. We think we belong to ourselves, and so we abuse it in many different ways. We think the world actually belongs to us, and so we abuse it. And this is a sin in God's sight. Oh, say if, say you make, $400 a week. And you may look at that $400 a week that you make and you say, well, I'm going to give a tenth of that. What would that be? $40 if you're making $400 a week. And you say, I'm going to give a tenth of that, a tithe of that. I'm going to give $40 because that belongs to the Lord. That belongs to God. Well, it does. But it is also true that the Lord owns all of the rest of it. In other words, it is to misunderstand the tithe from the biblical point of view. It is to misunderstand it if we believe 10% belongs to God, 90% belongs to me. I can do with that 90% whatever I choose to do. That is absolutely a sinful way of looking at it. It all belongs to God. 100% of it does. Certainly, tithing is good. It is biblical. And many of us are tithers. But we also must recognize that all of the other money that we have belongs to God too. And therefore, if the Lord were to open up my checkbook and see what all I'm spending my things, he would see where a tenth of it's given to the church down there, First Baptist Church of Dirks. But he would also look at all the other expenses, all the other checks that are written, all the other things that we've given, and then he would see what I really feel about him. And that's a very sobering thought, I believe. God is the owner. I am the manager. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul said, "What do you have that has not been given to you?" Well, nothing. It's all been given to us. Isn't that true? I'm thinking about the fact that we're living here today and we're breathing this air. They had to take poor old Bill out a while ago, and thank you guys for seeing about him. I told him when he got here this morning, "You should not be in church today," but he came anyway. And then I said, "Don't get in the choir." He wanted to, and I said, "You don't belong up there. You can't get your breath." He'd been in the hospital 3 days this week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And with his breathing, he couldn't breathe. And so then he sat back there and he saw I was right. He couldn't get his breath. He did need to be at home. And that's where the guys saw that he made it. But you see, even the breath that we breathe, we are dependent upon God. The air that we breathe, that's what made me think of Bill. The air that we breathe, if the air atmosphere was taken away, we would all die just like that, and we know that we would. God is the owner. We are the managers of God's creation. Secondly, as a manager, I have a divine responsibility over what God has in my life. There are several things that I need to realize. I am to give abundantly of that which I give. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 14, David was setting about to instruct the people on how they were to give. And he says, everything we have is given to us by the Lord. There was a guy named Jerry Craven. He's still alive. And he was quite a wealthy man. He had a whole chain of restaurants, two banks, a ranch, a farm, and real estate ventures. When he was 59 years of age, he was searching for a retirement home. And in his praying about a retirement home, God spoke to him very clearly and helped him to understand this was not what God had in mind for Jerry's life. And in his testimony before a group of preachers, he said, "God led us, my wife and I, to put our money and our time overseas, particularly in India," he said. And he said, "As a result of that, we make several trips overseas doing mission work during the year. All of our thought and our energy and everything is in helping others come to know Jesus. And he said, we have a great peace of mind and a joy in our heart that we never had before. Now that's the way it works. And some of you find that to be true in your own life. When you realize that God is the owner of all things, you're the manager, but he is the one who really owns it all, then it frees us from worrying about things that really do not belong to us in the first place. So we're to give abundantly. Number two, we're to give sacrificially. There's a passage over in the book of 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And in that passage in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing this to the church in Corinth, and he uses, when he writes to them, the example of the churches in Macedonia. Chapter 8, 2 Corinthians verse 1. Moreover, my brothers, we made known unto you the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear witness. Yes, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, beseeching us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Paul was using those churches in Macedonia as an example. And he said they were poor and they really didn't have hardly any resources at all, but they gave sacrificially and God was pleased. They gave out of their poverty. In the third place, we're to give joyfully. In chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians and verse 7, this verse is one you probably all remember. Every person according as they purpose in their heart, so let them give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a what? Cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. I've never really heard anybody shout during the offering. I guess really and truly, if we took that verse literally, whenever they passed the offering plate in front of us, we would start shouting praise, hallelujah, because he says God loves a cheerful giver. And that word cheerful in the Greek New Testament is the word that is translated hilarious. The Lord loves a hilarious giver. What would happen in our church if the offering plate was passed in front of you and folks started shouting and praising God? Hallelujah! Someone say, what happened? What got into them? And they'd say, well, they're giving to the Lord and they're being so blessed. That's the way it really ought to be. It usually is not quite that way. But he loves a cheerful giver. We should give joyfully. So as a manager, we are to give an account unto the Lord. This is the whole thing of our message today. You see, God holds me responsible for what I do with his stuff. He holds you responsible for what you do with the stuff that he has entrusted to you. We all must stand before the Lord and give an account of our actions. When the Lord judges me and judges you, here are some of the areas of inspection that he does. First of all, ourselves. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, my brothers, that ye offer, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. So we are to give ourselves to Him. That's very important. When we teach children and teach young people, we teach them about looking at their life. And when they try to decide, what am I to do in this world? A lot of our students are going to be graduating from schools all around the country. And they come to a place in high school especially where they try to figure out, which direction am I to take? What am I supposed to do with my life? And I know as parents, and I'll probably mention this even next Sunday, as parents and loved ones, we want them to do the very best, hoping they will go into some kind of a career where they can make a lot of money and all these kinds of things in their life. We certainly ought to be stressing to our children and to our young people, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Try to present yourself, and not just try, but do it. Present yourself unto the Lord. Seek His will. It's not what I want to do, but what does God want me to do? And that's true whether it's being a preacher or a missionary, a doctor, a lawyer, a farmer, a worker, whatever it may be. We need to seek His will. We give, first of all, ourselves unto Him. Then our possessions. In Matthew chapter 25, there's a parable there about the possessions. And I believe that we all understand everything belongs to the Lord. Our time is important. How do we spend our time, our days, our nights? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, make the most of your time. Another word is redeem the time. And we must do that. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, our abilities, our gifts. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, that we all have a spiritual gift. I believe that we do. And some of us have more than one spiritual gift. Some of you may have several different gifts of the Spirit. Now, the talents are one thing, and the talents and the gifts are not always identical. They're not always the same. But every believer has a spiritual gift. Some of you all say to me, Brother David, I don't think I have any gift at all. And some of you have joked about it and said, I think when they passed out the spiritual gifts, I was behind the door out in the hallway and I missed out. Well, that's one way of looking at it, but that's not the truth. Every one of us, as God's children, have been given a spiritual gift. It may be, as we noticed in 1 Peter chapter 4, it may be a speaking gift or a ministering gift. One is as important as the other. And those gifts of the Spirit are vital in the life of the church. How do we use the gifts that God has given to us? Well, this is Earth Day. My wife said to me this morning, you know, we need to start recycling again. There was one time when we really started recycling our papers. And I did that for several years, and then I got tired and I gave up. And I just put all those newspapers in with everything else. And it's not because that I feel that it's not important. I do. Matter of fact, it's just that I'm too lazy to do the different thing. I mean, I'm in a hurry. I'm just too lazy. That's a confession. Some of you all probably could confess the same thing. So instead of separating the trash and all of this kind of stuff, we just do what's easiest. Well, that's why parts of our world are in such a bad shape now, because people have done what is the easiest way. So Anna said, I think we'll start recycling our, what was that, our What? Oh, that's what it was. Plastic straws. That we saw that somewhere about Earth Day. Plastic straws. And are they fixing to outlaw them somewhere? Where? It was in the news this week. In where? In England, was it? Not China. In England. Somewhere they're going to ban plastic straws because it hurts the environment. And they build up and they can't be absorbed and all of that. Well, that's a real good thing, Anna. We could start doing straws, I guess. Being funny on all of that. But there's a point, and maybe it'll get into our minds. It is important to do all of those things to take care of the world in which God has placed us. I love this world. And you know, it says in the Bible that God is concerned about this world. It is His. As a matter of fact, in the book of Romans, it says that the whole earth, being still under the curse of sin, is one day going to be redeemed. And we keep praying for the redemption of the world. And I was reading in Revelation where it says, God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Apparently, He's concerned about this earth. Always has and always will be. We have such a responsibility, don't we, to take care of our part of the world in which we live. And some of you all do such a great job of that. I pass by your homes or your farms, and I see all the ways that you work so hard to take care of everything. That is a good thing. And then, of course, I pass by some of your homes, and I can see you don't give a rip about all of that. You know, it ain't mine. I ain't going to take care of it. And so I grew up on the farm, and we lived in many different places. And my folks were like so many others. They were so poor and so tired. Our places were just filled with all kinds of junk. You wouldn't believe the kinds of places we lived. We could hardly walk around the yard and walk out in the places around because of all the junk around. But I would look at some other farmers' places, and boy, they took care of it. Roger's fixing to go back this week, back up north, aren't you? And some of those farms up there where you live, man, they take care of them, don't they? I mean, they're spotless. Everything is just right. Fence rows are all clean. People take pride in what they have. And around here we do. That's not to say y'all up north are better than we are, because we have a lot of beautiful places around here too, and y'all are taking care of where you live. But it's a part of good stewardship to care about the place on which we live. We don't worship the earth. You see, that's wrong. We don't worship the earth. We worship the God who created the earth and who owns the earth. We worship Him, the Creator, and not that which He has created. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You today for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. And Lord, we're grateful that on a day like this, we can be reminded that You are God, that You own everything, that we are not the owners of anything. We're the caretakers. We are the stewards. We are the managers. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that You'll help me and help all of us, that we might do that which is best for this world, giving honor and praise to You. Help us to care about others and about our own selves. Lord, I pray that in this moment of invitation, that Your will might be done. And if there are those who are lost, they would be saved. If there are those who need to be baptized, and they will come and tell us. Those who want to join the church, that they will come and tell us that. Or whatever the need may be. Lord, we thank you for your love and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.